Excuse me, the recording has started.
Thank you very much. Shall I do the roll call for you, Heather?
Yes, please, Glenn. Go right ahead. I'll say to start out, welcome everyone to the meeting of the 15th of December, 2016. Just a reminder to use both the AC room and the phone bridge. Glenn, be delighted if you do the roll call for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. When I call your name, would you please answer so that we know that you are that you can be heard when the vote comes up, if it's necessary. Donna Austin.
Here.
Keith Drazik.
Here.
Keith, you have the proxy for Ruben's Kuhl in case he is not present at the time of the vote. Rubens will be late coming onto the call. James Bladel. James is not yet on the call. Donna, you have the proxy for James. Darcy Southwell.
Here.
Michele Nilon.
I'm sure, here.
Valerie Tan.
Here, Glenn.
Thank you. Susan Kawaguchi. Susan, I don't see yet. She will probably be joining. Phil Corwin.
Yes, Glenn, I'm here. Could you send out the link for today's Adobe Room? The one I have is not working for me.
We'll do that right away. Thank you.
Thank you.
Phil? Heather Forrest.
Here, Glenn. Thank you.
Paul McGrady.
Here, Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning. Wolf Ulrich Knobin.
I'm here.
Wolf Ulrich, you have the proxy for Tony Harris, who is absent and not able to be on the call. Stephanie Perrin.
Here, Glenn.
Thank you. Emma El-Sada.
I'm here.
Rafik Damek.
I'm here.
Marilia Maciel.
Yes, I'm here.
Stefania Milan.
Here. Present.
Thank you. And Edward Morris is unable to be on this call and the coming one in January. So the NCSG has appointed a temporary alternate in Martin Silva Valence. Martin, are you on the call? I know you are trying to get into the Adobe Connect room. So perhaps he's not on the call yet. Yulfiel Seniors?
Here.
Erica Mann?
I'm here.
Cheryl Langdonor?
Yes, I'm fine.
Our ELAC liaison, and Carlos Gutierrez, our GAC liaison, GNSO liaison to the GAC.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Carlos. And for staff, we have David Olive, Marika Konings, Mary Wong, Steve Chan, Julie Headland, Emily Barabas, Natalie Peregrine, Barry Cobb, Eric Everard from our IT support, and myself, Glenda Sanjavi. Thank you very much, Heather, and please let me know if I've left off anybody. I don't see anybody has joined since the roll call, so please continue. Thank you. Just to let you know, Martin Silva has joined. Thank you, Heather, and over to you.
Thanks, Glenn, very much. And I note we have a few folks who plan potentially to join us late. Ruben's planning to join late. And James is traveling and asked Donna or I to chair the meeting in case he had connectivity issues or delays. And it's a shocking time for Donna in California. So I I agreed to chair today's meeting. So with your patience and indulgence, we will move into item 1.2 on our agenda, which is updates to our statements of interest. Does anyone have any updates that they would like to raise? Seeing none, we have an opportunity to review our agenda here, and I would note that we have two items on the consent agenda today. One item has received some discussion on the list just in the few days before the meeting, and that's our confirmation of the council response to the board letter regarding the final report of the IRD expert working group. Amr, I noticed you posted some suggested drafting amendments to the list. I think it came through today, my time. It might be yesterday, everyone else's time. Amr, would you like to move that item off the consent agenda to facilitate you or anyone else to facilitate discussion on it?
Hi, Heather. This is Amr. I don't know about taking it off the consent agenda, but if folks would like to look at this for just take a little more time looking at it, that's fine by me. No objections at all. I think generally all of the questions that the ICANN board via Steve's letter directed towards the council could be answered easily. I think they should be reassured by the work the GNSO has done to date on this. So I just think if we reflect that clearly in our letter that they should be fine with the response we give them. There is work that they referred to that has already been done in the GNSO. There is work that is underway. A lot of the things that they identified in their letter, which was sent to us in May of this year, were actually identified by the next generation RDS PDP months in advance of them sending the letter. So generally, I think if we just reflect all that in the letter, it should be very reassuring to them. But to answer your question, I'm fine whichever way folks here would like to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr, very much. In light of the comments that Amr's just made and the comments on the list, bearing in mind that if we put this on or if we keep this on the consent agenda, we won't really have the opportunity to discuss the amendments that Amr's raised. Does anyone feel that it would be inappropriate then to leave this on the consent agenda for that reason? If anyone hasn't had perhaps time to review Amr's comments. I'll tell you what, I think in light of that, so Erica's raised the request to take it off the consent agenda. And Eric, I agree. I think that seems to be a sensible thing to do. So let's do that then, and we'll make that our new item 4 in the agenda. We'll just shift that one down a line, I think. So with that in mind, does anyone else have any further comments or concerns or amendments to make to our agenda as it now stands? Oh, I don't see anyone with a hand. So then we'll take our agenda and we'll work our way through. Item 1.4, the minutes for the previous council meetings. I think we've all been behind the eight ball since Hyderabad and racing along, and we've had several meetings in quick succession. So I'm happy, since I'm in the hot seat, to take the blame for not having had the chance to review the minutes and get them out in time for this meeting. But I will commit myself and Donna and James to do that, make sure that's done in the very near future. So we have already noted the posting of the minutes of our first part of the council meeting in Hyderabad, and we have part two, and then our most recent meeting on the 1st of December to post. So we'll do that straight away. The next item on our agenda is the review of the projects and action list, and those were circulated prior to the call with their relevant amendments. Again, it's only been 2 weeks since our last meeting, but Marika or Mary, could I ask one of you to walk us through the changes to that document since we last met?
Sure. Heather, this is Marika. We actually just had a small power cut here, so I've been kicked out of Adobe Connect. So if I can ask one of my colleagues to upload the documents if they haven't done so yet, and probably Mary would be in a better position than to walk through it. I hope to be back shortly online.
Not to worry, Marika. Thanks very much. Natalie or Mary or any one of you amazing people, could we put maybe we start with the projects list? Could we put the projects list up in the AC room? And Mary, may we put you in the hot seat for this one?
Hi, Heather. Hi, everybody. This is Mary. Sure. Essentially, the project list, as everybody knows, is a monthly or regular update that tries to show at a glance all the projects that are underway in the GNSO, PDPs, as well as other projects. And I think, as most folks know, if you look at the first page of the project list, they are all coded and colored according to the status, where they are, whether they're in initiation, in working group phase, at the board vote stage, or implementation. So it's an easy at-a-glance for everybody to click on the link with any item that they want to do and just take a look at a little bit of the background as well as where we are with all these different projects. I think the other thing is to note is that the project list also sets a target date, which sometimes changes for these projects. It also notes who holds the token, and sometimes that would be a working group, sometimes that would be the council. So we did circulate this, and thanks again to Donna for catching a lot of the inconsistencies and so forth. We will continue to try to make this as uniform and as easy to read as possible going forward. So I see that Marika is back online, and I think I'm just going to hand it back over to her. Hopefully that's a useful overview for folks, and hopefully people have had a chance, or if you haven't, please do take a look at this list because, as I mentioned, it does give you what we hope is a good, concise overview of where every project in the GNSO currently stands. Marika?
Thanks, Mary, and I think you did a perfect overview. Maybe just to add what we do to facilitate your reviews, that we share a redline version and a clean version. So especially when we have a short turnaround between calls, you should be able to see in a glance what has changed between the last meeting and this one. So from that perspective, happy to take any questions. Also, if you have any suggestions for improvements or changes or updates that we may have missed, you know, those, of course, are very much welcome. Thanks again to Donna for picking some of those inconsistencies that were in there. So, again, any input you may have, please let us know.
Thanks very much, Marika. This is Heather. Just to maybe give a one-word explanation on the improvements made by Donna. We were really looking at consistencies and how dates were expressed and things like this. There wasn't any, let's say, substantive change to the document that anyone should feel concerned about. We were working on format and presentation of information. So any questions from anyone in relation to the projects list? No, all right. I'm seeing none. Then let's turn to the actions, action items list. Excellent. And we have a number of outstanding agenda or action items here as our year comes to a close. Of course, the first item there, the ICANN 58 meeting planning, is underway. We have been working within leadership closely with the staff, the GNSO staff, to come up with a form document in relation to what a meeting A might normally look like and work on a GNSO block schedule. I've probably held that up in a sense that I had trouble with the document that showed the block schedule, the proposed block schedule. So we'll continue to work on that and hopefully have that in a position to circulate very soon. Marika, anything I should add in relation to you're the wizard on the ICANN 58 schedule. Anything I should add at this point, or are you happy with that as a description? Marika is typing. Excellent. Good. Thank you. Marika's given a high-level explanation, which I didn't begin with, that action items are really our tick list that come out of our council meetings. We have the outstanding IGO, INGO, PDP recommendations sitting on our action items list. These, of course, have been here for a while, and we'll speak to some of this in relation to our discussion of the GAC communique, since the GAC communique from Hyderabad picks up on some of these points. So I think we'll hold off on this. The CWG on internet governance, I noticed that there was very recently a confirmation that Glenn, thank you, Glenn, circulated on the council list to note that our concerns and our requests, if you like, in relation to the CWG IG have been received, and they are working on those. So that was a pleasant update to receive. PDP improvements. Marika, your name is down on this one. I notice that we have a completed action here, survey results, and staff moving forward. Anything further that we need to note on that, Marika?
This is Marika. No, just to note that those two other items are still on our to-do list, especially integrating the inclusion of the proposed PDP charter. I'm guessing that we will try to do that as part of the other changes that are happening to the operating procedures, not to have separate public comment periods. And the draft guidelines is something we're working on as well, so we hope to get those back to the council in the near future.
Great. Thank you, Marika. The next item on the list is the next steps on proposed modifications to the procedure to address who is conflicts with national law. Staff very kindly put together a new draft as to how that might go forward. It's out on the list and out for discussion, and I would encourage us, it's not on our agenda today, but I would encourage us all to continue those discussions within RSGs and Cs and report back on the list. But thank you very much to staff for putting together that draft. The CCWG on auction proceeds and our identification of members is on our agenda for today, so we'll need that. The approval of the appointment of an interim GNSO representative to the empowered community, that I would also suggest is at least enlivened by our discussions today in relation to the straw man proposal put forward by Ed and Susan on how we might go about as a council and as a GNSO community selecting people when we need people to represent the GNSO. So I think I'd like to park that one as well, since that's relevant to that. Our review of the GAC communique is on today's agenda, as is the topic of the SSR RT2 representative or representatives. That is, again, in relation to our desire to have some kind of a formalized process for how we go about selecting people to positions like that. So we'll talk about that today. GNSO leads onto the GAC. I'm done, dusted, and we welcome Carlos to this meeting in that role. And indeed, he has been identified to the GAC as fulfilling that role. Our consensus recommendations of the GNSO bylaws drafting team, that, of course, was completed in our last council meeting, which was held on the 1st of December. And we have the IRD letter, which sits on our agenda for today. The proposed limited scope for who is review T2 or RDS also sits on our agenda for today. And the council response to questions from the CCWG accountability has been addressed and circulated on the council list. Marika or Mary, perhaps, Marika, your name's to this. Could you remind us the deadline on that? We have that as today. Have we made our final call for comments and that's all done?
This is Marika. No, you suggested a couple of changes, so I'll I've incorporated those in the latest version. So if you all agree, I'll get that out to the list shortly and maybe give people another 24 hours to look at that. It basically goes to the point that the first question, where I think Heather already raised that on the last call, that the question asks about, you know, who the GNSO considers part of its community. So instead of quoting the bylaws, it has more of a descriptor now of the different groups that make up the GNSO council, or the GNSO, sorry. So if you're all fine with that, I can circulate that version, and hopefully 24 hours will be enough to indicate if you have any concerns or objections to that revised wording, and if not, the leadership can send it on behalf of the council.
Thanks very much, Marika. And indeed, it was my tinkering at the end. So the blame falls on me for that one. But I appreciate the opportunity to pick up on some of the comments that I'd made in the previous council meeting. So that will go to the list then. Please keep an eye out for that. And to the extent that you have any concerns about the revised drafting, which would only be in relation to the response to question one, please don't hesitate to raise those. The final two items on our action items list, we have the IRTP approval of the letter, which was done in our last meeting, and we have council meeting rotation for 2017, and the updated calendar has been circulated accordingly. So that that takes us through our action items. Does anyone have any concerns, questions, comments about action items before we move into our consent agenda? Seeing none. Then what we have now on our consent agenda is a single item, having removed item 3.2 and moved it into our regular agenda. The single item on our consent agenda is the confirmation of the appointment of GNSO members and a GNSO co-chair to the new cross-community working group for new GTLD auction proceeds. And given that this is on our consent agenda, Glenn, may I ask you to lead us in the voice vote in relation to this?
Certainly, Heather, thank you. Although, would anybody like to abstain from this motion on the consent agenda? Please mention your name. Is anybody against this motion on the consent agenda? Please mention your name. Would all those in favour of this motion on the consent agenda please say aye?
Aye.
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 Aye. And those holding proxies, are you also in a favour of the motion on the consent agenda?
Aye.
Aye for the proxy.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Heather. The motion passes unanimously.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Glenn. And Amr, apologies. I saw your hand, and I'm wondering if it's in relation to the vote or in relation to another issue. So please go ahead.
Thanks, Heather. This is Amr. I just have a question, seeking some clarification on the motion. But for the record, I did vote A, so I am supporting it. But I was just wondering if the GNSO-appointed co-chair is also being appointed as a voting member of this cross-community working group or just as the co-chair. Thanks.
Apologies, Amr. I was talking to myself on mute. So your question is, your question relates to the co-chairs, and do we have multiple co-chairs?
Yeah, Heather, and apologies. I'm just looking at the resolve clauses again, and I seem to have missed the part that actually answers my question, because the first resolve clause says that the GNSO Council appoints Jonathan Robinson as the appointed co-chair and member. So apologies. I misread the first resolve clause, and I withdraw my question. Thank you.
Not a problem. Not a problem, Amma. Thank you for the question. It keeps us all honest and on track. Excellent. That takes us then through, yes, indeed. And as a logistical, and thank you very much to the mysterious typer into that motion. Indeed, that motion was made by James, and we did not have a seconder, and Donna, as we were kicking off the voting, Donna agreed to second the motion. So thank you very much, Donna. And apologies all that we didn't catch that in time. Donna did with sharp eyes, so thank you very much. That then takes us through our consent agenda and moves us on to our regular agenda. Congratulations to all of those who will be representing the GNSO in that important effort, and we're particularly grateful to the folks that have raised their hand and volunteered their time. So that's an excellent outcome. Our new item 4 in the agenda then is the confirmation of the council response to the ICANN board letter regarding policy implications of the final report of the Internationalized Registration Data, or IRD, expert working group. Now, this is a matter that relates to the possible overlap, if you like, of the translation and transliteration PDP, the TNT PDP, as we know and love it, and how those, let's say, are implicated by, or if they're implicated by, the IRD final report, and any potential conflicts, and what steps might be needed to be taken by council in considering the policy implications of that report. We received a draft that had been prepared by James Galvin, and that was sitting on the council list. And Amr, you have raised some questions or comments in relation to that draft, and I wonder if I could ask you, please, to let's say introduce us to your comments for those of us maybe that haven't had a chance to look at them closely enough before the meeting.
Sure, Heather. Thanks. This is Amr again. The letter Steve sent back in May raised two issues. One is the sort of the overlap between recommendations between the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group and the TNT PDP Working Group. It also asked that the IRD Working Group's final report be forwarded to the Next Generation RDS PDP Working Group to consider in its deliberations of a HUA's replacement system. So the letter basically did say that, yes, in response to your letter, Steve, the GNSO Council the past July has forwarded this request to the Next Generation RDS PDP Working Group, and they will be taking it into consideration. And it also addressed some of the high-level requirements that were identified in Steve's letter from the IRD Working Group, and sort of addressed how these were taken into consideration in the translation and transliteration of contact information PDP. The comments that I sent in just were just some additions that I hope are helpful. Two of the three high-level requirements Steve identified in his letter were addressed. The third wasn't, so I just added some language to address that. It doesn't change the outcome of the letter in any way because, as I said earlier when we were discussing this during the call earlier today, I believe that the IRD Working Group's recommendations so far have some of them have been addressed in previous PDPs, specifically the TNT, and the others are going to be addressed in the Next Generation RDS PDP Working Group. And I will also note that that even prior to Steve flagging this and sending us a letter on behalf of the ICANN board, that PDP Working Group did identify these issues and has been planning to take them into consideration from very early on in their work. And let me see if I can just add a link in the Adobe Connect to the key inputs that PDP Working Group is going to take into consideration If you check, there's a lot of key inputs into this PDP, as you can all imagine. If you look under Who is Program Improvement Documents, you will see two documents, one by the IRD working group, the other by an IRD expert working group. And then there's another section right below that of related GNSO PDP reports, and the translation, transliteration of contact information is there. So I think generally the questions that Steve posed to the council could be answered in a way that will reassure him and the rest of the ICANN board that all due consideration is being taken in considering the IRD working group's work and then work on internationalized registration data in general. I do apologize about the very late input or weighing in on this so late, but I hope that my additions will be helpful. Thanks.
Amar, thanks very much for that, and indeed it's helpful to have your input given that you've been involved in these efforts for some time. What I would like to do is, at least what I'm thinking at this stage, is, as Amar said, we haven't had very much time to think about this, and I think it would be helpful if we had an opportunity to look at this and go back and take any last-minute instructions if needed. This isn't formally on our agenda as a motion. So, Keith, I'm thanking you for seconding, but technically I guess we don't need a seconder because it isn't on our agenda as a motion. Does anyone believe we need to take a vote on this, or is this something that we can deal with on the list? I would say let's open it for discussion now, but if we don't think that this needs a vote, then that's something that we can do, let's say, after the call. I propose that we have Amar's comments. We have them on the list. We can go back. We've had the explanation today. And perhaps we give it until Sunday, close of business, time to contemplate, and then we come back and make our comments on the list, unless anyone thinks that this is something they prefer to have a vote on. I notice Paul and Keith are typing into the chat. Good. All right. Paul's supporting the notion of time to reflect and then respond on the list. So, and we'll see Keith's comments in a second. Final call then. Does anyone believe we need a vote on this? Great. All right. So no strong, no one requesting a vote on this. Amar, we'll give you the final word in the chat. There you are. So you've had the final word in the chat on this, saying I don't believe we need a vote, but fine either way. So then I propose that we clean this one up on the list and let's set close of business on Sunday so that staff can first thing Monday morning get this out and on its way. So that gives us 4 days or so, depending on your time zone, to make some comments on this. I do believe it's fairly time sensitive. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Amar, for your background note earlier this week and indeed for your comments today. Anyone like to say anything more on this item before we move on to the next item? Nope, Amar, that's great. We appreciate your weighing in, so that's fine. Let's then move on to what is now item number 5 in our agenda. Which is the council response to the board on matters arising in the GAC communique from Hyderabad. So this is an effort, of course, that commenced on the ground in Hyderabad. And once we had all received the GAC communique, we moved this off of our agenda for the 1st of December. We had a placeholder motion on the 1st of December meeting, and indeed the document wasn't quite ready at that point. The drafting team was still in the process of drafting, so we put it onto this agenda today. There has been quite a bit of discussion about this in the last week or so on the list, notably between the registries and the IPC. And I wonder if, Paul, I might turn to you and ask you to introduce the motion and tell us where we are.
Sure. So this is Paul McGrady. We, I think we're pretty close. the motion is simply designed to put forward a response to the board about the contents in the GAC Hyderabad communique, and we went line item by line item. I don't know if staff can put the latest version up or not. There was one remaining issue related to abuse reporting, that there's some back and forth on the list. I apologize for putting something on the list 5 minutes before this call, but we had some comments back from Donna yesterday afternoon, and I got responses back last night and early morning this morning from the IPC list. And so we essentially, I think we have agreement except for one dependent clause or one little phrase, and I think that's highlighted there. And this came back onto the list just as I said before the meeting started. And so I have not had Donna's response to that or anybody else's, and nor would I expect it with 5 minutes notice. So if we can have a reaction to that, the highlighted phrase, that would be terrific. And then lastly, there was sort of the issue of this particular paragraph has a gripe about the word advice being used in this context to mean questions and other things that really aren't advice. And the issue, should we elevate that to the transmittal letter? This use of the word advice in its in the context of either asking questions or redefining protocols is actually sort of replete throughout the GAC communique. And I think instead of elevating it to the transmittal letter stage at this point, which is sort of our way to raise our voice, I think it's good to note it in the substantive paragraphs of our response this time. And if we see it again coming out of the Copenhagen communique or future communiques, then maybe we can raise our voice into the transmittal letter and really start to draw the board's attention to the problem of the word advice not meaning what it usually means. So I will be quiet now other than to thank Donna and the contracted parties for sticking with us on this and really working in a great collaborative way, and just ask for comments on this paragraph, which is, I think, the last one that needed some work. Thanks.
Paul, thanks very much. And I think for proper purposes, what we also need to do is have a seconder for this motion. And I also think that for proper purposes, Paul, it would be helpful if you can present the motion as well, the language of the motion.
Sure. So I will just walk through it. Whereas the Government Advisory Committee advises the ICANN board on issues of public policy, and especially where there may be an interaction between ICANN's activities or policies and national laws or international agreements, It usually does so as part of a communique, which is published towards the end of every ICANN meeting. The GNSO is responsible for developing and recommending to the ICANN board substantive policies relating to generic top-level domains. The GNSO has expressed a desire to provide feedback to the ICANN board on issues in the GAC communique as they relate to generic top-level domains to inform the ICANN board, as well as the broader community, of past, present, or future GTLD policy activities that may directly or indirectly relate to the advice provided by the GAC. The GNSO hopes that the input provided through its review of the GAC communique will further enhance the coordination and promote the sharing of information on GTLD-related policy activities between the GAC board and the GNSO. Resolved, the GNSO Council adopts the GNSO review of the Hyderabad GAC communique. See the link and request that the GNSO Council chair communicate the GNSO review of the Hyderabad GAC communique to the ICANN board. I don't know, is it Hyderabadi? Is that a typo, or is that really, that may be how it should be? Following the communication to the ICANN board, the GNSO Council requests that the GNSO Council chair inform the GAC chair as well as the GAC GNSO consultation group the communication between the GENASO Council and the ICANN board. So that is the motion. I think as Heather mentioned, I think it needs a second. Oh, seconded by Donna Austin. Terrific. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Paul, and thanks very much to Donna. I think it's a real indication of the collaborative nature of the discussion that Paul and Donna have their names on this motion. I'll open it for discussion, and Donna, you're first in the queue. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Heather, Donna Austin, and thanks, Paul. And I can happy to say that we can agree with the revised language that came back from the IPC this morning, so I think we're good to go. I just would like to mention that I had suggested on the email discussion that perhaps we elevate the concerns about the GAC advice to the transmittal letter. And while I appreciate that Paul says it's relevant to the context of the response to the GAC advice, I agree with that. But I also appreciate that we don't actually get a response from the board when we send these responses to the communicate. We understand that they take it into consideration when they're considering their own consideration of the GAC advice, but I don't believe they respond to our responses formally. So the only reason I was suggesting is that we put it in the transmittal letter is that we can raise this as a higher level concern that given the recent changes to the bylaws, we would like we would appreciate clarity around what is now considered to be GAC advice. So that was the only reason, Paul, that I suggested that it might be worth elevating, is that when we do so, we request that the board respond to our question. So I'm happy to go either way on this, but as Paul said, if this becomes a problem in future communiques, we could raise it then. But I think, you know, it wouldn't hurt to get in front of the eight ball on this and just ask the question now of the board. And thanks very much, Paul, for the spirit in which we've come to an agreement on this language. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Donna. Michaela, you're next in the queue.
Thanks, Michaela, for the record. I mean, I don't want to kind of to flog a dead horse or a dying one, because that would be cruelty to animals. There's two things here that I think are important. One is, you know, the difference between the concept of advice in the English language and the concept of GAC advice. I'm not looking at this in terms of bylaws and everything else. I'm looking at this in terms of simple practical, you know, make it clear to people when one is the other. And also as well, don't forget that a lot of these documents, you know, they're read by people outside the ICANN bubble. I mean, the concept of GAC advice is something that people within the GAC, within the ICANN space have an understanding of, whereas somebody looking at it in terms of, oh, here's a document that these governments sent into ICANN, and this is what they're, this is, or they're just giving a bit of advice, that's fine. I mean, especially in the post-Diana transition space, I think there is an importance to make it clear when it is advice in one sense and advice in the other. The other thing around this, the subject of abuse, I think you know, we have worked with the IPC on this to try and get it to a point where people are more happier. And one of the things that did come up in some of our discussions was that the term abuse is thrown around a lot within the ICANN space, but there aren't any clear definitions around it, and it is something that does need to be defined, especially when you're asking or demanding that people take actions on it. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Michaela. Much appreciated. I see various comments in the chat. Would anyone else like to enter the queue on this? James, please, welcome to the meeting, James.
Hi, Heather. Thanks. James speaking. I just wanted to note that due to ridiculous flight problems, I'm here, but I will try and catch up. Thanks.
Thanks very much, James. Welcome. Any further comments on this motion? I then have a procedural question. Yes, Phil, please, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Phil, and I'm speaking in the absence of Susan. I'm not sure where she is. I expected her to be on the call. But she raised a concern in an email to me last night regarding, let me just get to the language, in the response to item, looking for the number, item 2, mitigation of domain name abuse. There's a line in the suggested response that let me find it. The council observes that ICANN is only one party to its contracts. The others are registries and registrars. Inappropriate for one party to a contract to unilaterally define enforcement standards for abuse reporting. And she has pointed out that the business constituency is on record with ICANN to provide broader access to the data it collects. So the BC has some concern about that particular statement in this response. And I apologize for bringing this up so late, but it was just identified by Susan last night, and I'm expressing her concern as best as I can in her absence on the call. But I did want to raise that for the record.
Thanks very much, Phil. Noted. Michele, please.
Michele, for the record, just responding to Phil. As he wants to put something on, as you want to put something on the record on behalf of somebody, and maybe it's because I haven't had enough coffee, and bearing in mind it is a more humane time of the day for me than it is for a lot of you, I don't actually understand what you're putting on the record, because I don't know what exactly the BC said or when they said it, so I'm a bit confused. Sorry.
The BC has concerns that the sentence which ends with the phrase for abuse reporting would put the council on record as in a position that's in opposition to the BC's on-record position that ICANN should be more forthcoming in providing data about enforcement actions when asked by the community. That's the issue.
This is Michele just responding. This is around the. Okay, I think I kind of understand what this is in relation to, but I think what our point is slightly different. It's not quite the same. I mean, happy to discuss further. I'm not sure if this is the appropriate place for that. Thanks.
Excellent. Still, and Michele, thank you very much for your comments. Donna first, and then Paul, please.
Thanks, Heather. Donna Austin. Phil, I'm not sure whether, you know, if you take into context the previous language that's in this response as well, in that it says, that said, the GNSO Council looks forward to reviewing ICANN's responses to the questions listed in Annex A to the communique. Now, there are a number of questions that the GAC has asked, which may result in, which I expect is going to result in some data. So, like Michele, I don't see how the revised language actually is contrary to the BC's previously stated positions. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. Paul, you're next in the queue.
Thanks, Heather. Paul McGrady for the record. So, Phil, thank you for passing along Susan's comment and concern. I think that that is one that is shared by many in the IPC, and that is that we don't want inhibitions from ICANN sharing their data in relationship to abuse reporting. But this motion's about something slightly different. This is about setting the standards as between ICANN and the contracted parties on in terms of what it says, right? The standards of, let's see if I can find the exact text here. It was highlighted and now it's not. Oh, too bad. But anyways, so I guess what I'm trying to say is that it what this is about is about the relationship between ICANN and the contracted parties. Susan's comments and concerns, which many in the IPC share, are about ICANN's reporting back to the community. And so I don't think that this necessarily is in conflict with what the BC prior stated position and the concerns that both the BC and the IPC share here. So I'm sorry that this was such an inartful response back, but it's still early here in Chicago. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, everyone who's commented. If we can agree that this is not putting the council that this sentence is not putting the council on record as being opposed to ICANN providing access to data that it collects, I think we can proceed. But that was the concern raised by Susan in her email to me, which came in late last night. And she could probably explain it better, but she had communicated she would be on the call. I'm not sure why she's not, but I'm doing the best I can to explain the concern she expressed to me. And
understood, Bill. Thank you. Michaela, you're in the queue.
Thanks, Michaela, again, for the record. I think I've understood more. I've got a better grip on what exactly this is. I mean, they're two separate things. The contracted parties, from the contracted party side, we want to make sure that people, it's clear that in a contract, one side of the contract cannot mandate what constitutes abuse. That's a discussion, debate, argument, call it what you will, between the contracted party house and ICANN that has been ongoing for some time. The issues raised by both the BC and the IPC, they have been raised a couple of times in the past in different ways. And while they're related to the same topic, they're not really in conflict with each other. The IPC and BC are looking for a greater level of transparency from ICANN and its compliance team on stuff to do with abuse. There's probably going to be differences of opinion between the contracted party house and the IPC and the BC with respect to the level of transparency and all that, but they're two different things, and I don't see there being a conflict between the two. So, like, from my perspective, I think what we have here is pretty much okay, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you, Michaela, and let me hope to bring this to a close, I hope, and say if it's now clear from the discussion that this sentence relates to the definition of abuse rather than to access to ICANN data, I think we can proceed with that understanding among us.
Thanks, everyone, very much for commenting on this. And Phil, given the extensive discussion that's happened both in the chat and would be captured in the recording and the transcript, I hope that would reassure anyone who went back to this and looked at the motion looking backwards, that in fact that we've had this discussion and we came to the understanding that we did and that there wouldn't be any misunderstanding. With that in mind, I would like to put forward a procedural question, which is ordinarily something like this would be put forward for a voice vote similar to what we've just had in relation to the consent agenda. We have had a fair amount of discussion on this. Is there anyone that would prefer that we hold a roll call vote for this agenda item? If so, please indicate in the chat or by raising your hand. So seeing none, Glenn, may I ask you then to lead us in a voice vote on this agenda item, please?
Certainly, Heather. May I just confirm that Susan is not on the call, so will be noted as absent, and that James has now joined the call, so his proxy no longer stands. He will be able to vote for himself, as well as Rubens Kuhl. Rubens, are you on the call and able to vote? Yes, fine. Thank you very much. All those who would like to abstain from this motion, please say your name. Hearing none, all those who would like to vote against this motion, please state your name. Hearing none, all those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 And for those holding proxies?
Yes, aye.
Your proxy votes? Thank you very much. And Martin, have you been able to vote? Standing in for Ed Morris?
Aye. Can you hear me?
Thank you very much. Thank you. Heather, the motion passes. One person absent, Susan Kawaguchi. But it does not influence the motion passing. Thank you very much. Over to you again.
Noted, Glenn. Thank you very much for facilitating that, and thanks to everyone for the robust discussion both here in the meeting and the background work that took place on this to get us to this point. I think that's really an excellent outcome. And again, lovely that it's reflected in the two individuals who put forward the motion. We'll now move to what is now our agenda item 6, which is our final voting matter in today's agenda, and it's the adoption of the proposed implementation plan for recommendations relating to the 2014 GNSO review. You may remember that this is an item that was sitting on our previous agenda on the 1st of December, and that was deferred to this meeting. We're very grateful to staff for having coordinated the webinar on the 8th of December to facilitate us all getting a bit more up to speed with this. It's something that's been going on for some time, but it's something that hasn't been mentioned in a while. So that webinar was very, very helpful, and we're grateful to have had that. Wolf Ulrich, may I turn it to you, please, to present this motion?
Yes, thanks, Heather. It's Wolf Ulrich speaking. First, let me just convey the apology for Jen Wolf. She wanted to participate in that call, but she had another personal family party today. So she has prepared, you know, the webinar, and I think webinar was successful. It was also good for those who participated here from council to learn a little bit more in detail what about it was. So let's just directly go to the motion right now. I think I will go to the, if you agree, just go through the resolve, since the whereas is also just cover the history of that. So the resolve clauses are the GNSO Council adopts the implementation plan. Second, the GNSO Council directs staff to submit the implementation plan to the ICANN board for its consideration. Third, following approval of the implementation plan by the ICANN board of directors, the GNSO Council directs the GNSO Review Working Group to execute and oversee the implementation of the recommendations as specified in the implementation plan and to provide the GNSO Council with regular status updates, in brackets, at a minimum prior to every ICANN meeting, on the status of implementation, including an overview for which recommendations implementation is considered. Anything else? It's considered complete, sorry. As part of this status update, the GNSO Review Working Group should also identify any questions and or concerns that may have arisen during the implementation that would require further guidance. So that's a motion, and before we go to the motion, let me just add something with regard to the to the timeline. So we had over the last days after the webinar with staff and the email exchange on the question of the timeline. Since you may remember that the timeline set out for the genus overview implementation is including the next 2 years, 2017 and 2018. We wanted to start as early as possible. So now the process after the approval of this motion shall be that the recommendations are, and the implementation plan is going to be sent to the board. The board shall discuss that on the basis of recommendations given by its committee, the OEC, the Organizational Effectiveness Committee. So if you look at this, so we learned that the board at the earliest time would take the opportunity to discuss it in February. However, that means that the OEC will be ready with those recommendations. This is seems a little bit uncertain, but let's be optimistic. So what I wanted to say, if we go for an approval and send it to the board, then the accompanying letter should include a little bit a outline our time pressure, the time pressure of the review working team with regards to finalize the implementation. So that's so far. Thank you, and open for questions and discussion. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich, for that introduction to the motion. Would anyone like to make a comment on the motion before we go to finalizing our vote? Amr, please.
Thanks, Heather. This is Amr. Not a comment on the motion, really. Just wanted to, again, acknowledge the role that Jen Wolf has played in the GNS overview from start till now. She's been great ever since she was a counselor and chairing the GNSO review working party. She's done a fantastic job at leading that group and coordinating work between the GNSO staff and the OEC, which was at the time the Structural Improvements Committee. And she's continued this great work on the GNSO review working group, and then just really wanted to acknowledge and thank her for her work on this. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. Anyone else make a comment on this item, not necessarily on the motion, but on the substance of it? Well, I think my final comment on this, not to put us all in the hot seat, but I think it was excellent that we were able to impose on others to provide us with that the webinar prior to this meeting. And I think that was really helpful in bridging the gap. And I think increasingly we're finding that these webinars are excellent sessions that can be deeply substantive and not tie up, let's say, the ordinary council agenda. At the same time, I'm conscious of the fact that maybe that webinar would not have been needed if we had all been able to attend the face-to-face session on this in Hyderabad. I understand that was quite poorly attended, and sadly, I'm going to throw myself into the naughty list here and say I'm only told it was poorly attended because I didn't attend it myself. The poor attendance, I think, has sort of plagued the GNSO review along the way, and I'm not entirely sure what the reason for that is. It seems that maybe we just have a continuation of too much to do, and this has been put to the back burner. But I'd like to think that as this now moves into implementation, we all put this a bit more front and center on our radar, given that it will have a significant impact on the entire GNSO community. And we want to ensure that it's, let's say, the outcome is reflective of each SG and C and its input. So no SG or C left behind, I suppose, is what I'm saying. Let's be careful to make that happen. And I know Wolf Ulrich's comment about poor attendance. Hyderabad was apparently not as poor as others, and that's fairly disappointing, given that that's the case. So with that in mind, I'll make a call for any final comments on this agenda item. And seeing none, and not detecting any reason for doing otherwise based on the comments that we've made here, Glenn, may I ask you to lead us in our final voice vote for this meeting?
I'll do that with pleasure, Heather. Just to check that we have Susan on the line now who can vote. Are you there, Susan? I think she's probably only in the Adobe Connect. She is typing, but we can. And that James is in a position to vote. Susan, but I can't dial in. Yes, fine. All those who would like to abstain from this motion, please state your name. Would anybody like to vote against this motion? If so, please state your name. All those in favor of this motion, please say A.
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 Susan has voted over the Adobe Connect. Otherwise, she says that Phil has her proxy. But I think it is in order for her to vote like this. Do you agree, Heather?
Yes, Glenn. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In that case, and Wolf Ulrich has confirmed that he votes A for the proxy too. And Martin, are you able to vote as well?
Hey, yes, I voted.
On the line. Thank you very much. Thank you, Heather. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much, Glenn, and thank you, everyone, in particular, Wolf Ulrich. You've championed this for us for some time. Indeed, we thank Jen Wolf, and that's very much an appropriate thing to do, but we also owe our thanks to you, Wolf Ulrich, for your work here. Let's move then to the non-voting portion of our agenda into our what's now item 7, which is our discussion on the council response to the proposed narrowing of scope of the RDS review. Now, this one, and perhaps I'll lean on Keith, given that Susan's only on the AC. Susan and Keith very kindly volunteered to draft a response. And we received that, depending on your time zone, today or yesterday. Given that we haven't had very much time to review it, I wonder if it would be helpful to have a bit more of a substantive review here than we might otherwise do, and perhaps we think about how we take this forward, given that we haven't had very much time to think about what's been posted on the list. But with that, Keith, may I ask you to introduce us to where we are?
Absolutely. Thank you, Heather. Hi, everybody. This is Keith Drazik, and thank you to Susan for, working with me on this. And apologies to everybody for sort of the late delivery here. Susan and I both had travel over the last couple of weeks, and it took us a little while to sync up, but I think we've got at least a good baseline for discussion. So, just at a high level, I think everybody understands that there is a lot of work going on right now related to WHOIS. And there is an RDS PEP working group underway. There's probably a dozen different work streams related to WHOIS and next generation WHOIS. And there was a desire identified, over the last couple of months to ensure that the RDS review team, which is one of the AOC mandated review teams that also has language in the bylaws governing its scope, ICANN's bylaws, that we wanted to make sure that the review team didn't overlap or duplicate the work of the RDS PDP working group or any of the other ongoing work streams. So the desire, and I think everybody understands that or understood when we began talking about this, that, you know, a lot of the same people would probably be participating in the RDS PDP working group that might also be interested in participating in the review team, and that there was a desire to minimize sort of unnecessary work or duplication. The challenge that we've found is that in reviewing the ICANN bylaws, the scope of the review team is actually explicit. And on the screen, you'll see bylaw section 4.6E, which is what governs or sort of prescribes the registration directory service review team. And the three bullet points in red on the screen, if you can see it, sort of talk about the various obligations of the review team. Some of the discussion early on had focused around, well, maybe this review team should just review and certify that the previous review team's recommendations had been implemented. And that is bullet four under the 4.6E. But bullets two and three actually are explicit and have basically say that the review team is obligated to do these. And it's my view, and I think Susan agrees, that it's really not that the GNSO Council alone cannot sort of narrow the scope around something that is explicit in the bylaws. So what we have done is we've listed eight different items that the review team would consider, and the eighth, importantly, is to ensure that no duplication of work that is currently the responsibility of the RDS PDP working group. So I'm happy to walk through this in more detail. I know that most folks haven't had a chance to review this yet, but I think to summarize, before I see if Susan wants to add anything or if anybody wants to get in the queue, is that the review team is going to have to do the work that the bylaws prescribe. But at the same time, I think we can be explicit in our charter or in our input to basically say that there needs to be careful, you know, it needs to ensure that there's not a lot of overlap or duplication of work and other work streams. Importantly, we think that the review team could actually, and number two is, you know, assess the RDS efforts currently underway or planned in the near term for the purpose of making recommendations about how they might be improved and better coordinated. So let me pause there, and I see Stephanie is in queue. I want to see if and when Susan joins, if she wants to jump in here. But this is obviously a topic for further discussion. No action is needed on this today, but hopefully this is a good baseline. Thanks.
Hi, Keith, and I apologize to all. This has been I had a conflict this morning, even as early as it is, and so got the time wrong. And anyway, it's been a busy morning already for me. You did a great overview, and I think I agree with everything. Well, obviously, I agree with everything in the document, and I think you provided a great overview, Keith. So nothing more to add.
Thank you, Susan. And Heather, would you like me to run the queue since I'm sort of teeing this up?
Keith, you're welcome to. Go right ahead.
Okay, very good. Thanks. So, Stephanie, over to you.
Thanks very much. Stephanie Perrin here. This is actually a question about bullet number, looks like three there, up ahead in red. The review team will look at the OECD guidelines. What exactly did the review team in mind there? Thanks.
Stephanie, you're referring to bullet three under 4.6E, which is the ICANN bylaws language related to the RDS review team. So I will admit that I am not sort of up to speed on exactly what those guidelines are. I've not read them, and I would defer to others who have expertise, but it is actually one of the elements of the ICANN bylaw related to this. So that's not something that Susan and I have proposed. It's actually bylaws language. So if anybody would like to speak to that, I welcome that. Erica, I saw your hand go up, and James is also in the queue. Would anybody like to respond to that question?
I mean, I don't, I know what the board discussed about this, and I'm always concerned about these kind of languages, because these OECD guidelines, when you look at them, they are really guidelines. So they have very little legal implication in case a legal request comes in from a nation state, or which impacts international law requirements. There are very few international law requirements anyhow on data privacy. There's some, but not that many. So I think what one should take it, and this is really as a guideline, which means when you read them, they're pretty good in nature. So they are practically talking about balancing rights, which I think it's important in the domain name environment. But of course, one has to be clear in case a law enforcement request or a court case comes in from one particular country or state. I mean, you will have to face anyhow the situation and can't argue that because of an OECD guideline, which probably talks about a topic in a much softer way, on a much more balancing way, there is no way to escape then the national requirement. At least you have to go and face a court situation. So, but nonetheless, I think it was a way of finding at the time, a common understanding, what could be regarded as a good practice or, good guidelines, and not more. So I don't think so. This point, actually, when you look at it, this is the bullet point, what was it? Was it two or three? Actually, it will give much guidance to the review team. It will only be maybe helpful in a new case, when a new legal case is debated, which might impact us, the domain name environment. Then it might be interesting to say, but, your country's agreed to a different approach in the OECD guidelines. So why do you suddenly want to go? You want to go further. So insofar, it could be a good safeguard.
Okay. Thanks very much, Erica. Let me go to James. You were in the queue, and I jumped you.
Thanks, Keith. No worries. I think Erica probably had a more significant contribution than mine. So, but thanks, James, speaking for the record. And just a note, when you introduced this, I think that there was a statement that I wanted to correct about the GNSO's ability to limit the scope of this. And I would just want to point out that the GNSO is not unilaterally seeking or asking or being asked to limit the scope of this review. We're being asked to provide feedback on a community-wide effort, which includes staff and I believe would be transmitted to the board to acknowledge, if not to limit the scope, at least acknowledge the conflict between this and some ongoing work. I think that the GNSO is uniquely situated to comment on this collision, because it's our PDP that it is creating some of the duplication. So I think that we have maybe perhaps a role more significant perspective than some of the other SOs and ACs, because we're chiming in on work that's underway in our supporting organization. But otherwise, it's not a unilateral thing. And then the only other point I wanted to raise is that wherever we come in for a landing on this particular ask to limit the scope, and however we're able to both satisfy our obligations under the new bylaws and also just kind of common sense of not, doing two things exactly the same thing at the same time, we're being asked to do something similar by the CCWG accountability on Workstream 2 with regard to another review team, which is starting up early in 2017, ATRT 3. So that scope is also being proposed as something that needs to be limited to avoid conflict with ongoing work across the community. So I just wanted to point out that it's not just the who is review team that's bumping up against existing work. It's the ATRT 3 as well. Thanks.
Thanks very much, James, and thanks for correcting me, and always happy to be corrected. So, and again, everybody, this is just sort of our initial, document for discussion. Clearly, this is not necessarily where we're going to end up. Happy to, take this to the list and continue discussions. I note that Heather's sort of saying, hey, look, we probably need to move on. So if anybody else has any comments on this now, I welcome them, but otherwise we probably ought to wrap up. And again, I apologize for the late delivery. Probably makes sense for folks to have, some time to review this and take it back to their stakeholder groups and get some input. Yeah, Heather, I'm going to hand it back to you now. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Keith. And indeed, I was about to type into the chat, and I won't now. Great discussion and to be continued. I didn't mean for my comment to chill the discussion. I think it's an excellent one that we're having, but I think it's probably some of it coming out of the fact that we need a little bit more time to discuss this. We do need to move on this, though, so I wonder if we might maybe put a timeline around to when we put our comments to the list. Is there, Keith or Susan, do you know, is there a deadline from which we need to come up with our comments? And if I know this has been kicking around for some time, it actually goes back to pre-Hyderabad. It was just before Hyderabad that the suggestion was put forward to narrow the scope of this review. So where are we in terms of the deadline? Does anyone know? Susan, go for it, please.
Yeah. This is Susan Kawaguchi for the record. Staff has extended the deadline for a call for volunteers for the WHOIS review team to January 13th, mid-January anyway. It was supposed to close, I think, on the 7th of December. And luckily, since then, there's been quite a few more applicants. I think there was only a handful, like half a dozen, that actually applied by the timeline or deadline. So if the applicant pool hasn't, the deadline for the applicants doesn't occur until January, I would assume we would have additional time to, think this through at least another week and submit to staff.
Great. Thanks, Susan. James, oops, sorry, Susan, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No,
go ahead, finish your. All right. James, over to you, please, and then I'll make a suggestion on timeline.
Thanks, Heather. Just a note that the original request is that we respond on scope, and I know that they, to Susan's point, I agree they have extended the deadline for call for volunteers, but staff response on the scope originally was sought by December 1st, and we asked for and received an extension for a few days or a week after that, but I think so. We are kind of already into our grace period that we were granted to respond and provide feedback on this. Of course, they're probably not going to proceed without us, but it is something I think that we should probably do as urgently as we can. Thanks.
Thanks, James, very much. And Susan, old hand or new hand? Okay, wonderful. Look, I think in light of the comments that have been made, and I think they're valid, we have had an extension on the call for volunteers until the first week of Jan, and yet we're working a little bit cart before the horse in a sense that ordinarily we'd have the charter before we called for volunteers. I don't think it's sensible that we try and push this out to January just because I think that this one has a potential to get dropped. That said, I do think this is an important one to go back to season SGs on. So what I'd like to propose is that we provide our input by next Friday. That ensures that we're on the ball, I don't know, maybe we even say next Thursday close of business, which gives Friday a chance to get our comments to the folks that they need to get to. That gives us a week, a little bit more than a week, depending on your time zone, to go back and talk to people. I don't think it's realistic if we push this out further that we'll get that many more comments on it because people will turn their minds away for holidays and that sort of thing. So let's say Thursday, and that gives an extra day for staff to help us to get our comments off to where they need to be. Paul, your hand is up, please.
Thanks, Heather. Paul McGrady for the record. So if we're to get our comments in to staff by Thursday, close of business, does that give us really a practical deadline of Tuesday to come back to the list with them? Because what if there are you know, what if there are changes that need to be made that people want to engage in dialogue over?
Thanks, Paul. It's a fair point. I'm also thinking that, you know, we'll lose ICANN staff over Christmas week, and indeed lose many people over Christmas week. So with that being the case, I'm just glancing at the calendar. If we don't say next Thursday or Friday, then we're looking at the first week of January. There's no way around it. Michaeli, please, your hand is up.
Thanks, Heather. Michaeli for the record. I just want to actually back you up. The call for volunteers for this particular review was extended. I think it's been extended once, maybe twice. According to the bylaws and everything else, the review should have been triggered earlier than it actually was. So we're already, now somebody can correct me on the exact timing, but I think we're probably about nearly a year behind schedule, or maybe more. I'm sure somebody knows for sure. I think, well, you know, the thing with something like this is it needs to move forward. Any more delays on this, we're really getting into kind of arguing over the position of a comma. I think in general terms, unless I'm missing something, I think most of us agree in broad terms that there's a very large amount, possibly too much, work going on around who is, and we want to keep the scope of this as narrow as possible. So, you know, the language that's been suggested here, and thanks for those who worked on it, does a very good job of trying to narrow that scope, but trying to cover every single eventuality in a document that is short enough, brief enough, that a normal human being can digest it, is going to be impossible. Thanks.
Thanks, Michaeli. Yes, what I suggest, so Paul's put in the comment in the chat, out to season SGs today, council comments to the list by Tuesday, harmonization work on Wednesday or Thursday, final product to staff, close of business Thursday, LA time. I'd like to propose let's aim for that. We have, dare I say it, we have time, let's say, to spare in the back pocket if we need to. I don't realistically think we're going to use that time very well. If we do end up going into the week of Christmas, I just don't see how that's going to help us. It's just the fact that we've got the holiday here. So I propose that we aim for that timeline. Let's try and get comments back to the council list early next week. If we fail, then it won't be for want of trying. So that's what I propose. Any objections to that? Nope. Hearing none. Great. Yeah, exactly. Isn't there a phrase about you can't stop Christmas? So good. Let's go with that then. Please add to the action items list. That we will get this out to C's and SGs straight away. Let's do that as individual counselors rather than put this on staff to try and chase everyone down. So individual counselors, on you to get this back to your folks and then try and corral some feedback and use next week and some peace and quiet next week as an incentive to get back those comments as soon as possible. And we'll all put our heads to this at the end of next week. Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone, for that one. And thanks in particular to Keith and to Susan for putting together this draft document that we've just received. Let's then move to our now numbered item 8, which is the discussion on a proposal for uniform selection of GNSO representatives to future review teams, which is coupled with a time-sensitive issue, which is the selection of the GNSO representatives to the second Security, Stability, and Resiliency Review Team. Now, this one, it is indeed two items, and I want us to be very careful that we recognize that it is two items. One is the straw man selection process that Susan and Ed very kindly volunteered to develop and recently circulated. That went to the list, depending on your time zone, on the 14th, I think it was, yesterday. The other is the narrower but time-constrained requirement of this need to select genus or representatives to SSRRT2. That one we've got to get our heads around and make some progress on today. Now, what I propose that we do is we spend some time discussing the straw man, and I'll ask Susan and Ed to introduce that, but then we need to spend the bulk of our time on determining whether we can finalize that process in good time to use it for SSRT2, or if we need to do something in the interim while we finalize that proposal. James, your hand is up. I'll turn it to you.
Heather, this is James speaking, and you expressed my concerns and thoughts exactly, is that we probably need to decouple this, because I think this is, and please don't get me wrong, this is excellent work from Susan and Ed. It is a comprehensive and I think a detailed approach to how we staff these review teams going forward. But I think that based on some of the questions that I know I have and that I've seen others raise on the list and the short time frame to consider this, I think that we should consider decoupling those two action items and look at an interim approach to staffing the SSRT. Which is we're under the gun to deliver a slate of members on that. Thanks,
James. So in light of the time, Amy, what we'll do is Susan or Ed's not on the call, indeed, so that makes it a challenge. Susan, if you're still with us, are you willing to give us an introduction to this document? And again, we haven't had a whole lot of time to look at it. But maybe give us an introduction to this, and then we'll park that and think about how we move forward on SSRRT2. Thanks.
Sure, Heather. Ed and I spent some time working on this, and I must say it was an easy process to work out with him. We worked very collaborative, and I appreciate that. And I'm sorry he's not on the call to propose this. But, with 2 years on the council now, I can see where there was a need for more of a standard process for making any selection. So we proposed this language for one for the review team appointments, and then another a very similar process for any other appointments. I think what's most critical to me was that we're consistent in the way we go at making selections or appointments, and that there's transparency surrounding that. So there are some, this is obviously not set in stone. There are some questions that could be answered. It's, do we take this to the stakeholder group level or stakeholder group and constituency level. Basically, we would help assist staff with issuing the call for application, and then and as staff has done, at least in the SSR applicants, rank them, and then we would each stakeholder group would communicate their candidates, but all of it would go out to the whole, a standing committee would propose the rankings for the GNSO Council, but all of the council members would have input onto who is our 1, 2, and 3 top candidates to be sent out to for selection. And then also have a number of backup candidates that were also ranked by the council to if there's additional seats available, if another stakeholder group, for example, does not fill their seat. So, and I apologize for it taking months to get this out, but I think it is worth the council reviewing and critiquing and deciding upon a
an actual process.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Susan, and sincere thanks to you and Ed for your work on this. What I propose that we do is that we go ahead and do the decoupling now, which is to say, I think Wolf Ulrich has raised some very, you know, interesting questions on the list in relation to this. James has kicked off the discussion here, saying he has a number of questions as to how certain pieces of this would work in practice. With that in mind, and the fact that we are behind on making our appointments to this team, we need to be a bit more timely. And it's not clear to me. Let's say I've stood up in a number of our meetings lately and said things are getting rushed, and I don't want this to fall into that category. This being, you know, the intention here is an ongoing process that we can use not just for this but for other things. And this is one of the things that when we ended the year. Ended our council year with the annual general meeting, James made a point to say in the wrap-up was in terms of one of council's objectives for the year ahead, that having a standing process and standing committee for how we do this was one of our key objectives for the year. That being the case, I want to make sure that we get that done right. We've communicated to back to the review team coordinators that we would be in a position to nominate folks by January from the GNSO. The good news is we have multiple applicants for this position. At the moment, we have 8 applicants for what I understand are at least 3 guaranteed spots. So what that means is that, you know, the good news is we have lots of folks. The bad news is we have to choose, and we don't have in place right at this moment a mechanism for doing so. And as Marika's noted in the chat, a maximum of 7. So we're already 1 over our nomination. Were we to confirm all of those who had applied, we wouldn't be able to do so. So how would we like to take this forward? What can we do to get ourselves to an outcome in time? James.
Hi, thanks, Heather. James speaking. And I'd like to put a proposal on the table to get us past this particular review team. The first, I think, first and foremost, is the commitment to continue to work on this process that's the straw man that has been developed by Susan and Ed to a position where we can use it as quickly as possible and then on an ongoing basis. And I think that commitment is important because we don't want the temporary to become the permanent just, you know, for expediency. But in the here and now, I would propose that we kind of take a mishmash of what we've done in the past. I'm thinking specifically of the evaluation of candidates for the GNSO liaison to the GAC, which involved just council leadership bringing recommendations back to council. And then also some elements of this proposal, so I'd like to maybe put Susan on the spot, Ed, if he's available, or his proxy, and then any other counselors, or in fact, if there's anyone from the SGs and Cs, but keeping the group extremely small to evaluate the slate of applications that we've currently received with the goal of coming back to council with a recommended slate of members for adoption at our next meeting on January 19th, which would mean that this group would have to work very quickly and over the holidays to get that list ready by January 9th. And I think it's kind of using what has worked in the past, which is just, you know, kind of keeping this to council leadership, but bolting on some of the elements here where we open it up a little bit and add Susan and Ed, as well as anyone else who we can get interested. But I think with an eye on the calendar of getting this particular group filled so that we can focus on developing this permanent solution going forward. And that's just just a swing off the cuff of how we can get this going quickly. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Paul.
Paul McGrady here. Thank you, Heather. I just wanted to support James' idea of a small team, and if council leadership's willing to be volunteered, that's terrific, and including Susan and Ed, who know this this process better than anybody. That sounds like a terrific small team to me.
not to the exclusion of anybody else who wants to volunteer, but I just think that what James had to say about staffing that small team and its nimbleness and need for speed during the holidays, that sounds terrific. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul, very much. So this would be something that we need to do very quickly, let's say, in light of the time, as we've pointed out. We would want to have that group formed immediately and thinking about this for next week, drop it over the week of the holidays, and then come back to it in the first week of January. Does that, James, is that consistent with your thinking? Great. All right. So James says yes in the chat. And have I understood, James, that you volunteered yourself and Donna and me and Ed and, well, we've lost Ed, Ed's proxy perhaps, or someone who wishes to replace Ed and Susan. Is that where we are for our team for the moment? Yes. Excellent. All right. Donna, we've been teamed. So that's how we'll do that. If Mary or Marika or whoever is holding the magic pen in our action items list could please note that we'll add that to our action items list that we have formed this small team. Anyone else who feels they would like to join the team, by all means, please make yourself known. Doesn't have to be here. But also, let's say, if we do have other volunteers, it might be that one of us that's currently sitting steps away, because if this gets too big, we might not be able to be as nimble as we can. And in terms of a timeline, let's say that the team come up with a way forward by the end of business next week before holidays start, and then have a view to putting that into action in the first week of January. Any objections to that? Being none, excellent, then that's what we'll do. Let's then move on to what is now item 9 in our agenda, which is planning for ICANN 58. And I introduced this briefly when reviewing the action items list at the start of the call. We are working on, much thanks to Marika and Mary and others, we are working on a draft schedule that is essentially a block schedule of GNSO time. And we're hoping at this stage to communicate that to the meeting planning staff as opposed to waiting for the call and having other things in place. So I suppose we're trying to jump the queue and go first here. And that would maybe be a plan for how we go forward as well. That being said, I don't know that we have any major update. Donna, your hand is up. Wonderful. Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. I agree that, you know, we've got some work to do in relation to, you know, just trying to come up with the intent is to try to come up with some kind of a GNSO block schedule that we can provide to the team that puts together the ICANN schedule, so we can, it kind of goes to a suggestion that came out of Hyderabad, so we're looking to do that in the next week, hopefully. But I was curious, and I think James, you've been on a recent SOAC call where there was some discussion around planning. So I don't know whether anything has moved on outside of what we're doing, and if it has, is there any update that you can provide?
Heather, do you mind if I just jump in?
Please, James, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Okay, thanks. And thanks, Donna. And I am actually struggling to remember if anything specific mentioned during that last SOAC call. I think that I don't believe we had any specific to planning for Copenhagen. I'll have to go back and check my notes. I apologize for that. But I think that the last, I think that there was a previous call that we had discussed earlier in December, or maybe 2 weeks ago, that I think we had a number of folks involved in that was what prompted us to come up with the block schedules. I do believe that we have since seen a call from meeting planning staff that there will be three high-interest topic sessions in Copenhagen, which means that they have taken on board the concerns that we raised in that call, that there were just too many of those sessions, and they were creating conflicts and ripple effects. And so they have reduced the number of high-interest topics to three, and there is a call for topics currently underway, which was circulated to council, and hopefully that's also being circulated and socialized out in the stakeholder groups and constituencies. But I don't know that I have anything since that time, and I'm just looking through my notes. I think that there is going to be another call shortly after the holidays, if not the first week of January, will be the next meeting with meeting staff on that point.
Thanks, James. That's helpful, and I think that's, let's say, where I was going and saying we don't have anything tangible, let's say, to differentiate our update from the last meeting and this one. Part of that is just a very tight time frame between the two meetings. But we are working on this in the background, and let's say that the job for us is to finalize this block schedule for the GNSO, get that circulated, and get that to the meeting planning team. Anyone have any comments or concerns about meeting planning? And yes, Keith makes an excellent point in the chat that it's a good idea to talk about the high interest topics with SGs and Cs to make sure that those points are made. James, new hand or old hand?
Yeah, new hand, sorry. Just to note that, yes, we have two specific action items that the council needs to take, which is one, as Keith noted, getting those high interest topics submissions turned in, and then two, and I think that falls more on to council leadership and staff, is to finalize the block schedules for GNSO A, B, and C and get those out to the meeting planning group as quickly as we can so that folks can at least have some time to consider those before we reconvene after the holidays. And it's kind of like what you were saying, Heather, let's get our marker down on that structure so that we can so that there are no surprises from the rest of that group on what we're expecting. Thanks.
Thanks, James. McKaylee.
Thanks, McKaylee. Briefly for the record. I know that we're going to be trying to solicit the topics from the various SGs and Cs. Has there been any further clarity provided on how the topics are chosen after all that? Because I noticed there was in the run-up to the last meeting, there was discussion about various different things, and then went from a list with a long list of suggested topics down to the ones that were actually chosen, and it wasn't clear how it went from one to the other. Now, maybe that's been clarified somewhere, but I think I missed it. Thanks.
Thanks, McKaylee. It's a very good point. And we have some work to do, let's say, maybe to, would it help, McKaylee, if we recirculate that? We've lost McKaylee. Noted, McKaylee. We will deal with that. Anyone else like to make a comment? Rafiq, please.
Thanks. I'm not going to make comment about the high interest topic. While I understand that there is still discussion, maybe about the selection and so on, but. More for the GNSO Council. So how we are planning to kind of manage the meeting request from the SG and, I mean, the stakeholder group and constituency, and to kind of coordinate them for the GNSO schedule. I think Heather tried for Hyderabad to kind of to involve more of the chairs, but so what's the plan for Copenhagen and how you kind of maybe to improve that process? Because I recall that there were several requests, but I'm not sure that it was kind of matching what uh, the stakeholder groups and constituency requested. So.
Thanks, Rafiq. It's an excellent point. And James, I know you've put your hand up. Would you like to respond, Rafiq?
I can, but I can certainly wait for you as well, Heather.
Fair enough. What I was going to say is I think, you know, our first priority is to get the block GNSO time, to make sure that we get GNSO time. The meeting where we came out all feeling a bit grumpy about how the time was allocated was meeting B, and I think it's just the shorter nature of meeting B. I'd like to see us nail down the GNSO block schedule, and then what I would propose to do is some sort of next generation of what we tried for Hyderabad, which is having the community involved. And to the extent that we can get our block schedule done soon, then we're not working to some background deadline from the meeting planning staff, and we'll have much more control over the process. I think historically we've been reactive rather than proactive on this. And if others agree, then I think what we do is we again try some form of community input out through the councillors to the SGs and Cs to review the schedule before it goes back to the meeting team. So again, it's normally traditionally fallen on the chair and the vice chairs of the council to try and hammer out an agenda. And when we're up against a tight deadline, that means that it goes directly from the chairs to the meeting team. And I've tried to introduce this, or suggest that we introduce this sort of feedback loop in there, that it gets circulated amongst us as a community before it goes on. If we can do that, then I think that's definitely something that we want to do. James, you might have further to add on that or another point.
Thanks, Heather. James speaking, and I think you covered it fairly well. The only part I would like to add is just to reinforce that a lot of the challenges associated with the way we did it for Hyderabad was that, you know, we were aiming the GNSO sessions at a moving target, which was a kind of a shifting broader schedule. And the high number of high interest topics sessions, I think, also created some downstream conflicts that we had to work around. One of the challenges I think that we encountered during that last process was that there was a disparity or a significant spread between, you know, some SGs and Cs would request one or two sessions and others would request, you know, five or six or seven. So recognizing that, we might consider adopting a ranked preference approach, which is that, you know, SGs and Cs, when they were submitting their requests for sessions under the GNSO schedule, that they would indicate which was their top priority, the secondary and tertiary and so forth, because I think that otherwise we kind of had to make some judgment calls, and I know that when we do that, the result is that no one is happy with the result. So that might be something to consider, but first and foremost, I think we need to hammer out this block schedule so that we know exactly what we're working around and how much space we have to fit the GNSO sessions inside of. And then we can take a look at how we collect those topics from SGs and Cs. Thanks.
Thanks, James. Hopefully, if nothing else, Rafiq, that assures you that we have it in mind. We're probably not in a position at this stage to jump on our own C and SG requests, but it's definitely something that we have in mind. Any further comments, questions, concerns on ICANN 58 planning? No? Excellent. With that, then, we move into our end other business, and we have a note on other business from that the SOAC support team leader would like to offer some comments.
Thank you very much, Heather. Dear councillors, as from the end of January 2017, I will be transitioning out of my current role and scaling down my workload. So what does this mean? I will still be around for a while in a consulting role, and in particular, I will be working on the Copenhagen meeting. David Olive has asked me to do this. However, today is my last council meeting. Going forward, you will be in the very capable hands of Natalie and Terry, who are currently slowly taking over the GNSA administrative functions and making the transition smooth and unobvious. So all I can say is thank you all very much, and excuse my emotion.
Glenn, you put me in a difficult spot because I'm crying too. Yeah, we can see the comments in the chat, Glenn. I think you probably rendered us all speechless. You truly have given the GNSO its identity in all these years, and we owe you a debt of thanks that we could never repay. James, as chair of the council, I'm happy to introduce you to say some comments.
Thanks, Heather, and like many of you, I'm also just a little bit shaken by this, and I even had a few days heads up that this was coming, and I'm still processing. And Glenn, I note that your work at the beginning, at the birth of ICANN, the birth of the GNSO, or I think it was called something else back then, the DNSO or something, was just has essentially a lot of what we do today is based on some of the groundwork that you laid. Personally, back in the dawn of the GNSO, and I think, you know, all we can say is thank you, and you'll be missed. And of course, we wish you so much of the best. And we're, I think, encouraged that we won't miss you entirely. That you will still be around for a little while to help us transition this. But I think, in the here and now, it's just something that we can only express our gratitude and thanks and well wishes.
Thank you so much, James. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, everybody. And I'll be around. I'll see you in Copenhagen, so don't worry about that. And you will be in very good hands, as I say. Natalie and Terry will look after you very well. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
Oh, Glenn. Rafiq, you're in the queue. Would you like to comment?
Yes. So, I think, like many, I want to thank Glenn for the help and support that she provided for many years. When I joined the council for the first time in 2009, I could count in Glenn, and it was always a pleasure to work with her, even in the council or as a chair. She always responded to any question and helped even late at night or really in strange times. Not sure what to say about 2016, so doesn't look the best year ever. But I hope that she will be still around, and yeah. So I think what I can say at the end, we love you, Glenn. So we love you so much.
Thanks, Rafiq. Those are brilliant words to express what we're all feeling. Glenn, if there's ever any doubt as to the depth of our feeling for you, hopefully that has resolved your doubts.
Thank you so much, Rafiq. I do appreciate that. And thank you all again so much.
With that, do we have any other, I'm afraid to ask, do we have any other business?
There's no more for me, Heather.
None from you, Glenn. That's that's you have a 17-year history with ICANN to be exempt from any other business on this case. James, you please.
Thanks, Heather. If we're closing, I just wanted to say thank you to you for stepping in, taking the wheel, and performing admirably, and probably setting a new standard that that you know I'll probably not be able to match again. But I did have some flight problems, and I'm now back. I'm probably just going to end up canceling the trip that prompted me to send in my proxy anyway. But I just wanted to say personal thanks to you before we close. For getting our work done and managing the call today. Thank you.
My pleasure, James. That's why it's nice to have a team. Yeah, when you need it, we're here. With that, although everyone's now sad and crying, it falls on me to wish everyone happy holidays, end of our year, happy end of 2016, and we all look forward to 2017. We have our next meeting on the 19th of January, which means our document deadline is the 9th of January. We want to keep that in mind in light of the fact that some of us will lose some time over the next few days. And I'll put in a plug for those of us in the Southern Hemisphere. Council takes its break in August, which aligns very nicely with the Northern Hemisphere summer holidays, and we plow right on through in December and January, which is when the Southern Hemisphere takes its holidays. So everyone, please have, have some, let's say, patience with folks in the Southern Hemisphere who maybe are on holidays and don't answer as quickly as they should. With that, I wish everyone on behalf of Donna and James and myself, we wish you a very happy holiday, a very happy end of the year. Be safe, be happy, and see you in 2017. The meeting is now closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.